Hey, all you listeners out there, this is Sean from the band Spiral Crush, and you're listening to the Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim Madonna. So crank it up!
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, tonight's show is going to be epic, because I have on the line hard rock vocalist and guitarist, Mr. Sean Smale of Spiral Crush. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, great. Thanks for having us, man. Thanks for having me, I should say.
Hey, Sean, I want to tell you, brother, it is truly an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity to do this interview. You know, I got to be honest with you now. I've never heard of the band Spiral Crush. I hope that's not non-offensive, but, you know, the way the music industry is today, there's so many great bands out there like Spiral Crush, that it's so hard, you can't possibly hear everybody. So this is truly a privilege, man.
Well, let me start by saying thank you for being so appreciative. And absolutely, it's not an insult, because you're right. The way the music industry works today and the way that everything is available to everyone through the internet and how many amazing bands, I mean, we're talking, you can search and you can find literally hundreds of thousands of really great bands throughout the entire world. And it's just my job to slowly get the word out there and connect with people like you and as many people as we can. And you know what? You may have never heard of us, but eventually you did. And we're doing this now. So let's have some fun and
all right,
talk about rock and roll.
Let's do it. Now, the first thing I'd like to say is this is a CD that has what, come out recently, or? Explain that for me.
Well, no. In actuality, our latest album came out in 2015. But I'm a firm believer in there's no such thing as a shelf life to good music. So, you know, being a band that's maybe not as fortunate as, you know, your top Billboard artists that make a shit ton of money and are able to be promoted and in your face constantly, you know, when you get more in the do-it-yourself realm of, you know, music, things can happen at a slower pace. And we're still very proud of the record. So we're still very much promoting it and pushing it. And like you said, in your initial questioning, a lot of people still haven't heard of us yet. So we're working on making that change into, well, now you have heard of us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, in terms of like, I mean, we're working on new music and hopefully we'll put out something newer and more recent, but you know, I'm not going to stop pushing the music that I feel is still worthy of being listened to.
Right.
And yeah, our latest album is Electric Life from 2015. I believe it has 10 songs on the album. And so we're still just trying to get it out there and push it and let people know not only that, but our other album, Nothing to Lose, before that one as well. And, you know, just get our name out there.
Right on. Right on. Now, where can the listeners go to purchase the album?
Well, I'll start by saying our personal preference is that you go to cdbaby.com, especially if you're interested in purchasing downloads. You can actually go to cdbaby.com and purchase an actual CD and have it mailed to you if you're into that kind of thing. And the great thing about CD Baby is that they allow you to set your own price. So like you work with them, they negotiate their fee that they're going to take regardless of how you set your prices. And that in essence enables us to keep prices lower if you want to purchase downloads, which definitely helps support your do-it-yourself bands by actually purchasing as opposed to streaming, although there's nothing wrong with streaming. That's just the way of the world and then the direction that it's headed. But if you purchase downloads or you feel like buying a physical copy, cdbaby.com is our preferred method, as well as giving us a good percentage of the money back to us because of the way that they run their business. And I would just like to say, though, on top of that, though, we're on every single streaming and download outlet available.
Okay.
Through Amazon, through iTunes, through Spotify, do-it-yourself band. Right. You got to make it available in every way possible.
Sure. And I will have links in the below the biography of, you know, CD Baby and, you know, all the external links to where you can, you know, visit your Facebook page, give it a like, that kind of stuff.
That would be great.
So,
you know, because in the way of the world, too, like Facebook likes really make you feel
important.
Cool. Yes. And I'm saying that with a tad bit of sarcasm.
Right on. Right on.
You know, in actuality, we do enjoy it, too.
Well, sure. Anytime you get that type of, you know, recognition that somebody really appreciates what you do. You know, when I started this, I didn't even know, really, I've taken no audio classes, no nothing, no speech. I didn't have any idea how to hook up a mixing console. And, you know, I've been on every continent in the world and 28 countries. And
fabulous.
You know, and almost 275 interviews in about 2 years. I've been featured in a magazine. So, you know, it doesn't matter where you came from or what you did, man, follow your dream, right?
I would say that for sure. And, you know, sometimes the best way to get results is just trial by fire. I mean, if you dive into something, you may never do it at all. So,
Sean, why don't you go ahead and give the listeners some brief history about yourself? And we've got some questions that I'm going to ask you. We're going to play some songs throughout this interview. The songs will be in no particular order. And so what I would like to do, sir, is turn the floor over to you.
Great. Well, a quick synopsis of the band. Myself, I play guitar and I do the lead vocals. And a quick side note, lead vocals happened by accident. We just never found anybody else that did the job or that we got along with. And it was really more of a necessity of like, let's start playing shows as opposed to continue looking for a vocalist. So that's kind of how that happened. My brother is the drummer. So I grew up playing with my brother as a drummer and myself on guitar, learning our instruments together and kind of falling in love with music together and, you know, being brothers and we're pretty close in age and everything. So tend to agree on most musical tastes, at least at first. You know, they've varied over the years and widened throughout the years. And then we originally had our cousins, so it was kind of a cool little family band at first. And we did our first album, recorded our first material in 2001, that first original album came out. And between playing that album live for people, my brother and I had ended up meeting some guys in another band called Throttle Body from Detroit. And what happened was some of the guys in Throttle Body ended up quitting. Coincidentally, what they needed was a second guitar player and a drummer. So we ended up joining Throttle Body, I would say roughly around 2002. And we played with Throttle Body for, I would say roughly till about 2005, 2006. And then on and off shows since then. But the guys in Throttle Body, excuse me, two of the guys, the singer, Andy Padalon, and the lead guitar player, Kyle Neely, ended up joining the Detroit band Sponge. So as they became, and I should say Andy also plays guitar. He didn't in Throttle Body. He's the rhythm guitar player in Sponge. Kyle's now the lead guitar player in Sponge. And so as they got more and more busy doing stuff with Sponge, Scott and I realized, well, you know, they're doing their thing and they're busy and the Throttle Body thing's tapered off. Let's put Spiral Crush back together. And so we did that roughly around 2006. We recruited a new bass player. His name was Jimmy Conrad. And we recorded an album called Nothing to Lose that came out in 2007. And we worked that record pretty hard regionally up here in Michigan and got into a little bit of Indiana and Ohio and getting the name out there as best we could and playing as many shows as we could until we got kind of burned out on it. And slowly what happened was we transitioned into becoming a cover band because you could simply just make more money going out and playing covers as opposed to being a do-it-yourself band that plays original music and, you know, trying to push yourself without any kind of industry support. So we did that for quite a while, which kind of led to I don't want to call it a breakup. I would say a hiatus, just general burnout, you know, the grind and being with each other and figuring out, you know, trying to figure out what we wanted to do and how we wanted to continue and move forward. But eventually, after the hiatus period, it was like you get bored. You're sitting around. It's like what we love to do is play music, and we need to get back together in a room and do that and forget about covers, and let's get back to the original thing, which was our initial passion for playing music. So we got back in the room, and we just really started hashing out tunes and reconnecting with one another. Quite a bit of time had gone by. So around 2014, we got in a room and just kept hashing it out, and then eventually settled on the 10 songs that are released on the album titled Electric Life. We released it in March of 2015. Great CD release party that we did at the infamous Blind Pig in Ann Arbor. And great turnout, great response. Pretty much since that album release until today has been the best time period for our band musically, in terms of like growing a fan base, growing a bit of local notoriety about the band, and general positivity in encouraging us to move forward. So that's kind of where we're at. Until, I would say roughly last November, our bass player, Jimmy Conrad, had decided that, you know, he was at total burnout and ready to not play music, ready to not worry about traveling or playing in a band or booking shows or too much rehearsing. And he decided it was time for him to stop, which was fine. It was all amicable. It wasn't like a, you know, argument, fight kind of thing. And he moved on. And so Scott and I were kind of put into a position of, okay, we got to search for a new bass player. And we can't rush it. And we want to make new music because we had this great album that we did. And we want to just try to keep moving forward. And eventually, and it only just happened, I would say, last June here, just in June 2018, we found a new guy named Jimmy McCammon. A lot of people, including myself, find it pretty funny that we replaced Jimmy with Jimmy, but that's just the way it turned out. So it worked out well. And so we got a new guy finally, and slowly the shows are starting to build back up to where we're playing more. We're able to get out there more and working on new material. So our goal is to get a new album out by early 2019. It's kind of where I'm at right now.
Awesome. I like it because, you know, you're looking not right in front of your face. You know, you're looking way ahead. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people, no names, that just they just kind of lose it and put stuff on a disc that really just don't give a shit anymore. And people eat it up. Just simply because of notoriety. And I better stop there with that, man.
We don't need to go down too many tangent side roads. Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, brother.
Let me ask you this, Sean. What was that most defining moment in your life that you realized you wanted to become a musician?
That's a good, really good question. There's so many defining moments, but I guess I have to go back to when I was very, very, very young. The first thing I actually remember being into, and this is not what made me want to be a musician, but what my first recollection of like something that I enjoyed musically and that was like important to me was when Michael Jackson did the Thriller record, and everybody was into that. And I just remember that was like, you know, got the tape. You know, I was working on dance moves and all that jazz. And it wasn't like inspiring me to do anything. It was just, that's my first recollection of what was important to me. But let's go like a year beyond that. I remember hearing Quiet Riot, and this kid on the bus had a Quiet Riot tape on my school bus, and he let me borrow it and listening to it. I don't know. It was something about, I mean, that was the music of the time. And it was something about the ferociousness of it and like the rockness, I don't know, the groove, the backbeat. It just seemed tough and cool. I was a little kid, so, you know, and I was like, that's just so cool and like tough. And
it was really kind of like, it was kind of like influential, you know?
Without a doubt. I just heard it and it was like the singer's voice was so gravelly and but like scary, but like cool, because it was like, you know, he's just so like, ah! And like in your face, and I don't know, I just connected with myself and my brother included. And it was just like, that's when we decided, well, I want to learn an instrument. And it was, but after that, it was like, I found out about Kiss and Van Halen. And I remember listening to those, and especially the first time I heard Van Halen and heard Eruption and stuff. And it was like, that was what really made me like, I really want to be good. I don't know if I can be that good, but I really want to try to be good at playing a guitar.
Well, I know for a fact that you have succeeded, because, well, anybody who hears the disc will know.
The only thing that you can do this, and it took me a long time because I have a lot of personal anxiety or self-doubt about myself at times. But what I eventually landed upon is the fact that I would rather do things and fail or do things and be considered not good as opposed to never doing something and regretting not trying. So that's kind of how I am able to like do music and continue to move forward with music and playing music. I don't judge my own music all that much because if I did, it's never what I hear from the artists that I love, but I just do what I enjoy doing, and I hope other people enjoy doing it. And I try not to think about it too much.
Right. Well, you know, I have an expression that I use, and then we're going to go ahead and move on to some music here. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, when you're good, you tell people. When you're great, they tell you.
Well, I would agree with that.
The first song I'd like to talk about on the album is called Gone. Would you mind giving the listeners some history about that song?
Yeah, sure. Gone. Well, Gone is actually on the Nothing to Lose album, but I'll tell you a little history about the song. It was very much inspired to me by one of my favorite albums, the 1994 Motley Crue album that they did with the singer John Corabi. And there's a song on there called Smoke the Sky. And they have this like climbing riff thing. And I was like, I wanted to make up my own sort of ascending, climbing riff, you know, because I just loved it so much. It's not exactly a ripoff. It's a homage, I guess you would say, to that song, the riff. And then lyrically, I started thinking a lot about some of the girls that I've known that have, they kind of have this sort of like natural disaster personality where it's like everything just leads to a to some kind of giant problem or some kind of giant, you know,
drama.
Yeah, thank you, that's the word I'm looking for. Some, you know, it's never ending. Like even the good stuff turns into bad stuff because they're always looking for that kind of attention, and it's always negative attention. So that's kind of where I was coming from lyrically or whatever. And proud of the lyrics, especially the first verse in this one, because I just really like, I don't know, equating it to like a person being worthy of a tabloid disgrace, you know. And it's just, but it's a kind of a fun song, so it hopefully people enjoy
it's
it.
It's a fun song. It's a great song. And here it is, man, Gone with Spiral Crush on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Swallow rain.
Welcome back. We are with Sean Smale of Spiral.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Oh, man. You know, like I stated, and I'll say it every time, man, you know, honor and a privilege. I don't want to sound like a damn robot, but I mean what I say. And the songs lyrically are great. You know, everything's great about them. So, you know, I'll probably say that every time. That's what I mean by robotically. But it's just the truth, man. I mean, you know, the things that you change up, it's pretty cool. I enjoy it, man. I really do.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And I would like to say I feel privileged to be able to talk with people like you and be on the Power Rock podcast because you're helping guys like me a little bit more in the do-it-yourself industry part of music, help get our name out there.
Well, you know, I'm always humbled when I hear that. And you put a smile on my face, you know, it means a lot. And I thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I really do. Because, hey, it's even when you're in a band, I'm a music fan. And so I appreciate other music fans very much. And especially when you're helping me sort of like push the music that I want to get across. A bit of ego involved with like being in a band and trying to promote it and stuff. It's like, I want people to hear my stuff and I want people to like it. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to be like necessarily always over the top and pretend like you're better than everybody else, because it's not about that. It's about the camaraderie of the love of music, and hopefully somewhere our music fits in there somewhere with your love of music as well.
Right on. Sean, in your opinion, what defines a successful record?
Well, as an artist, as the person that creates it, I would say a successful record is something that you can live with when you're done making it. You know, you record it, you write it and whatever, and when you're done, I don't want to say that necessarily you love it, and like I don't drive around listening to my music in my car and pretend like it's the greatest thing in the world, but I have to be able to at least be like, I am proud of this, and I'm proud, I would enjoy other people liking it, and I think other people get something out of this, some kind of enjoyment, and like it. Like, to me, that's a successful record as in terms of being the person that created it.
And hopefully it makes some money.
Well, that never hurts. Everybody's in it for the art, but trust me, everybody would love to make the money too.
There is a song that you guys have started to push that very, I would say, special to you guys. I'll just use that terminology. The song I'm referring to is called One Shot. Could you give the listeners some history about that song?
Sure. One Shot. Well, let me start by saying we've ended up working with a company that's called Curtain Call Records. And there's Gigi at Curtain Call and Angela, who's our main go-to person currently.
And can I stop you right there? You just said Angela. I need to say a huge shout out to her. She is on the ball. She's on the money. I email her 5 minutes later. She's responding with what I need. And in my opinion, you have somebody that you make sure you hold on to, because she's a very, in my opinion, because I've dealt with some wackos, she seems very reliable. So big shout out to Angela, man.
Yeah, big shout out to Angela and Gigi and Curtain Call. And Angela is great. I mean, we need people like that. As being the artist myself, whatever, like, I like playing music, but let's be honest, I'm a little flaky. I'm not on top of things. I'm not a scheduling kind of guy. I don't adhere to like certain time frames, and it's not that I choose to do that, it's just I kind of am spacey that way. And so having somebody like Angela and the whole family at Curtain Call Records helping us out is really a big deal to us, and it's really important to us, and we are extremely grateful for their help, because I mean, we really wouldn't even do half as much as we do without people like that. But to get back to your original question, One Shot. One Shot is just a song about, I guess, a little bit of my apprehension about continuing to play music in an industry, you know, music industry kind of coincides with like the Hollywood industry. And it's a lot of, you know, there's big timers and they don't mind shitting all over you if they don't hear that you can make them a lot of money immediately. It's kind of really about like being able to pay attention, and when you're, you know, the availability to take a shot, a big shot or a one shot, or any chance or make something happen, they come and go. And if you're not paying attention, you'll miss them. And they could be the important thing, the important moment in time in your life that changes everything.
Well, so, you know, wouldn't that coincide with another saying I use is you only have one chance to make a first impression?
No, it totally coincides with that.
You know,
so, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. If you have, when your shot shows up, you better take it, because to be honest, like, especially with the music industry and stuff, if there's people that help you out, in my opinion, my humble opinion, they're not just helping you out of kindness. They're helping you out because they feel like they can get something out of it too, because that's just kind of the way the world works. The kind of way things, like, industry people don't help out bands that they think are crappy because they think you're a nice person. You know, they, yes, you might become friends and they really appreciate what you got and what you do, but they're not going to go down that dead end road of like, I'm going to push this band that I know nobody's going to like. So you got to pay attention and be ready to take your shots, you know, when they're available.
And here it is, man. One Shot with Spiral Crush on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
You can work real hard to try and make it, or you can have a lot of heart and just fake it. But I'm beginning to see that it's mostly luck. Well, it's all who you know, or it's all who you fuck.
Sean, and Sean, man, killer stuff, man. You know, well done. I dig it.
Well, thank you.
I really do. Earlier back in the interview, you know, you talked about you had some ups and downs, and you know, you had some bass player changes and so on and so forth. And the question is this: has there ever been a point in your life where you have lost the interest in playing? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
I don't have to answer the second part because there's never been a time in my life where I didn't want to play. I will say I go through ups and downs as to how hard it is to try to become successful, I guess. You know, it's like I play music because I love it. And I would do that whether there was nobody ever going to hear it or not.
Right.
But at the same time, I really do want to make it like a job, like a career, like a thing that I could do for a living. With that being said, it's like I would like for people to hear it and enjoy it. Obviously, that's what they're going to have. They're going to have to like it if they're going to buy it and pay you and, you know, support your band. So, you know, it gets hard when, you know, you're kind of busting your ass, you're booking shows and you're promoting them and you'll go. And then it's like, you know, 12 people show up, you know, and it's like, it gets a bit discouraging. But in all honesty, you step back and you think about it and it's like the industry's changed. You got to figure out how to roll with that and just accept the fact that, like, you know, if I could get on a Headbangers Ball or if we could get on like a major radio play, obviously that kind of exposure would help your band immensely in terms of like a fan base.
Right.
It sort of doesn't work that way anymore. So you got to just keep grassroots, keep slugging it out, you know, don't lose the faith.
Right.
And what really keeps us going is like, it's fun. It really is fun. You go to a show and there's only 5 people there, but you might play your ass off and you're with 2 of your best friends and you're laughing and because it's fun. And that's just what keeps us going.
Let me ask you this, man, because in that statement you had said the music industry has changed, which leads me to this question. What do you think will be the next evolution in the music industry?
I will answer it. That question by simply saying I don't know exactly, but from my personal perspective and kind of how I've been thinking about things, especially lately, is like there has to be a way to figure out how to get more rock exposure. And that and nothing negative about other genres of music. I'm a rock musician and I'm also a fan of rock, hard rock, heavy metal, all that stuff.
Right.
And it's just gotten to the point where it's like the exposure has dipped in America. So you would see a lot more successful rock and metal bands if they had the outlets of exposure that were available to artists like that, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
You know,
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, the internet is evolving so fast that I'm not sure what the next evolution is going to be.
Well, you know what, Sean? In my opinion, I think you stated that the internet is moving fast. I think that's what's screwing everybody because we don't even have to leave our house anymore and we can listen to music. You know, we can do just about, we can, you know, remember going to a drive-thru, watch a movie. We don't have to leave the house. We can have food delivered. It's made Americans, I think, really fucking lazy is what it's done.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you in that statement, but at the same time, being on this end of things, there's not much that I feel like I can do to change the fact that that's the way that it's going. So you have to figure out how to adapt and be somewhat a part of the way the evolution of it is.
Okay.
It's not something that, you know, you may like it, you may not like it. But the fact is, that's the way that it's going. That's how things are. For me, you know, there's an old saying, right? And people say, especially lately, rock is dead. And I don't think rock is dead. I think rock exposure is dead. So for me, the most alarming thing, the most concerning thing to me is how to get more rock exposure.
Hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're an older band. We've been playing around, you know, playing live shows since, you know, 2000 and early 2000s. I'm still playing shows with bands that are rock bands that got guys that are you know, early 20s today. Tons of them. Tons of them. I'm sure you interview tons of bands that are got guys in their early 20s. Oh, yeah. There are rock fans out there. It's just I want to see more exposure, mainstream exposure for rock music. Man, I don't know how to do it yet, but,
That's a great thought, man. You know, it really is. And I think if you can patent that answer, you're going to find new friends because you're going to have big bucks, baby.
Well, if you could figure it out, I think it would be a really big deal. I mean, American radio, FM radio, has gone to shit because it's monopolized by two major companies. And they, you know, it used to be regionally you would hear, you know, what's going on in Pittsburgh was not what was going on in Nevada. You know what I mean? And so right. If you traveled and whatever, like they kind of had a say. The radio stations, the DJs had a say. It's not that way anymore. It is owned by these giant Walmart-type companies, and sure. You get the same 30-song playlist from coast to coast.
Sean, the next song I would like to talk about is called Kissing the Demon. Can you give us some history on that song?
Sure. Kissing the Demon, that's actually on Nothing to Lose as well. And that one was one of the last songs we did for that record. It was a riff that I had that I wasn't really that into it. I didn't really have a vision of where to go with it or what to do with it, the main riff. But my brother, Scott, the drummer, he loved it, and he really pushed me to work on it. We finally got a song structure down, and I didn't have lyrics, and I was just kept, you know, back and forth on what to. And I finally got a melody that I was cool with. And basically, Kissing the Demon is very simply about how if you, and it's easy to do, you fall in love with the wrong thing, be it drugs or whatever, and that becomes your demon. That's your demon. That becomes your love. And it just sort of drags you down.
I know very, very well what you're referring to and can relate real well. And it's such a great song. And here it is, man. Kissing the Demon with Spiral Crush on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Kissing the Demon. Can't
welcome back. And Sean, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we are going to close the show out. However, I'd like to ask you one more question. And the question is this: what type of legacy or how do you want to be remembered by your friends, family, and fans when you pass on?
When I pass on, that's a pretty deep question. In terms of life and existence, like, I love music and I love playing music, but that really has nothing to do, I guess, with how I want to be remembered by my friends and loved ones. I've always tried to be a nice person and a positive thinking person. I like humor, and so I hope people remember me as being funny, you know, or at least someone that they could laugh with about things. And, you know, music has always kind of been my thing, and I take it in and kind of regurgitate it, I guess. So, like, that's where the music part comes in. Is like, that's just part of who I am and what I love, and I try to share that with people. But I think music's a great cathartic part of life. It's great for, like, memories. I mean, how many times do you hear songs and it takes you back to, you know, when those songs were important to you or a big part of your life? And so that's music for me is that part of it. But in terms of, like, how I want to be remembered, I want to be remembered as somebody that's, like, a true friend to people, you know, an honest person. I have my faults like everybody does.
No.
And, yeah, believe it or not.
Oh, my
I can't
God.
Walk on water. So I just want to be remembered as a guy that was, like, able to, like, I want to meet people that I don't know. And hopefully they'll say, that was a cool guy, easy to talk to and bullshit with and have a laugh. You know, like strangers that I'll never see again. Hopefully they think that. And then my closest loved ones, I hope they just know that, you know, I truly care about their feelings and their lives. And I hope the best for everybody, man. I hope everybody just gets a lot of laughs out of life and a lot of enjoyment out of life, because it's shorter than we want it to be.
It certainly is, man. And I think that was just a great, great answer. And Sean, what I would like to say to you is this, man, is that I truly wish you guys, as well, personally yourself and the band, the utmost success, man. And if I may use the word prayer, I pray that you guys just get blessed, man, that, you know, things just keep happening. And, you know, the band takes off like a rocket, man, because, you know, I expect to see Spiral Crush on the main stage one day. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to believe it, because Spiral Crush has got what it takes to take rock and roll by storm, to kick its teeth in. Brother, and I just appreciate this opportunity, as I stated three or four times throughout this interview. It was an honor and a privilege to speak with you. And I thank you, man.
Well, I thank you. And I'll tell you what, it's an honor and a privilege to meet people like you who not only love music, but you love life and, you know, good people. And I enjoy meeting good people and talking with good people like yourself. So I appreciate it, brother.
All right. Well, there you have it. An interview with Sean Smale of Spiral Crush. I am Jim Madonna, your host. We're going to play one more tune. This one here is called Oh No. Peace.